Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bad Bleeps of the Bible. Hello again, and welcome to March, first of all, and the beginning of Women's History Month. Such a good time of year. We have Black History Month, now it's Women History Month. I don't know what we have next. My birthday is coming up next, so maybe it's Scott History Month. I don't know, but what I will say is that this podcast was founded because of the incredible women throughout history found in the Bible. So because of that, this is like the best time ever. And if you're just joining us, maybe you need a bit of a refresh about Bad Bleeps. So, as you know, Bad Bleeps is called Bad Bleeps, but it had a different name that also began with a B and rhymed with witch, with the full title being Bad Witches with a B of the Bible. Change it up to be not only more inclusive with more stories beyond those just of the women in the Bible, but also a little less polarizing, LOL. But still, the reason that this podcast exists at all is because there are so many unsung women of the Bible who have incredible stories and who are all strong, independent, and fabulous women in their own right whose stories are never told. And if they are told, they're being overshadowed by the all-important men of the Bible. Probably because the Bible was written by all men, but I digress in that regard. So in this Women's History Month, you're getting all women. All women, all the time. All the incredible badass women who I'm inspired by and whose stories need told. And with that, I'm so excited to tell you about two of these women today. Two women who looked their authority in the face and outright disobeyed. Who took a stand to revolt and in the process prevented a literal genocide, who, though they were two simple midwives, became lost but not forgotten heroes of the Israelites. Two women who performed what one source stated as perhaps the first known incident of civil disobedience in history. Today's Bad Bleeps are Shifra and Puah. Our story begins, as so many of our stories do, with the Israelites in captivity. If the Israelites of the Old Testament aren't wandering in the wilderness or fighting off their Philistine foes, then they're most likely in captivity. And most likely in captivity in Egypt. And today's subjugation is the most famous of the Israelites' captivity. Again, that being the one in Egypt. The one where the stories of the 12 plagues of Egypt arise, the story that began with Joseph and his amazing technicolor dream coat, the story that will eventually become the Prince of Egypt, all those stories come from the Israelites' captivity in Egypt. And the story we're telling today comes just before Moses. And in fact, as some scholars argue, actually inspired the very story of Moses and inspired the very actions of Moses' mother, where she placed Moses in the basket and floated him off to the palace of the Pharaoh. So we're there at the very beginning of Israel's captivity in Egypt. And the Pharaoh at the time was pissed. He was not only pissed, he was also worried and he was scared. You see, the Israelites at this time, though they had started small in number, were slowly but surely growing steadily in population and in strength. And this worried the Pharaoh. Worried him so much, in fact, that he decided to do something drastic. As a way to not only stop the growing Israelite population, but also to lessen their power and maybe flex his subjugation muscles a bit, I don't know, he resorted to a plan to murder all newborn Hebrew babies at that time. Specifically, murder the newborn male babies. Yes, this fool's response to a growing population in his country was to plan the genocide of the all new male babies born to the Hebrews. I don't know why I just said new. like there are old new babies. I'm not sure. But again, this response was insane. He was going to murder all newborn babes within the Hebrew population. Not sure why he also was not going to murder female babies. We're also not sure how long this was meant to last, but the results were going to be the same. Little dead babies everywhere. Gross. But his plan wasn't to send his soldiers into town and just yeet the babies from existence. Rather, he wanted to recruit the help of the baby's deliverers at that time. Those women who would be his kind of dark vessels of destruction. The midwives of the Hebrew population. So to his court, he called two of the midwife leaders, our bad bleeps, Shifra and Pua. Yes, her name is Pua. Get over it. So after Shifra and Pua arrive at the court, they are informed of the Pharaoh's dark, dastardly plan. And it's not clear why Pharaoh decided on this path, again, with midwives, but obviously he expected the midwives' cooperation. Cooperation that he would not get. Since following their meeting with the Pharaoh, the midwives, Shifra and Pua, talked. They discussed, and they planned. And their plans were put into action, and would be, as one scholar puts it, maybe the first known incident of civil disobedience in history. And as another puts it, the earliest and in some ways the most powerful examples of standing up to an evil regime. Instead of just simply following along with the plans of the Pharaoh and enacting literal genocide on their own people, the midwives' plan was to do nothing. They would do nothing. They wouldn't kill the firstborn male babies or the male babies. They would not enact the Pharaoh's plan. They would continue to birth babies just as they always have. They would continue with no change. And that's what they did. And obviously, this action would not be undertaken lightly, for going against the Pharaoh would have dire consequences. And so, as it was, just a short time later, Shifra and Pua were once again called into the court of the Pharaoh, this time to await his wrath and judgment at their disobedience. And as Shifra and Pua approached the seat of their king, I'm sure they were afraid. They were afraid for their lives. They had just defied the orders of the almighty Pharaoh, the most literal powerful man at the time. And now they were about to find out their fate. They were about to suffer the wrath of this Pharaoh for their disobedience. But Shifra and Pua weren't going into this meeting without a plan. Rather, they had concocted the perfect lie, the perfect tiny untruth that would be just enough to redirect the mind of the fickle Pharaoh. So it was then that, as the king railed at Shifra and Pua, yelling, "Why have you done these things? Why have you let the boys live?" Shifra and Pua shared their delicious little white lie. They responded to the king saying, "O king, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, they're vigorous, they're wild. And before we, the midwives, could even come to them, they had already given birth. What are we supposed to do then? We can't kill these children." Now, listen, to maybe you and I, this little tale would have not been enough. We would have been, sure, whatever, kill them. But for the Pharaoh, maybe through some powerful influence from the Almighty above, this was enough to sway his mind. Sway his mind so much to have him forget about his whole plan entirely. Yes, people, the Pharaoh simply moved on from his initial genocidal ideations to greener and maybe happier pastures. Maybe he was thinking about a new pyramid that he was going to construct. Who knows? But what is known is that through their courage in defying their authority, in coming up with a small little white lie, these incredible women not only saved their people, but cemented themselves in biblical lore. For their part, the midwives, Shifra and Pua, continued to dwell in ancient Egypt. They just kept on living their lives. But they also didn't go unrewarded. The Bible tells us that Yahweh, the Lord God, established households for the midwives because they feared God. And before you think, great, cool, these women who literally risked their lives for their people were given tiny little one-bedroom huts in Old Town Egypt, then you would be wrong. No, because household here, sure, I think it does mean house for one, but two, it actually means dynasties. It's a word that means generational wealth, a power, a legacy. And in fact, the descendants of Shifra and Pua are incredible bad bleeps who defied a pharaoh. Their houses became the houses of priesthood and eventually the houses leading to Israelite royalty. These two incredible women of the Bible, who only exist in six short verses in Exodus 1 and who are only named in the Bible one time, cemented themselves and their families in history by, again, defying the Pharaoh and rescuing a nation. What two freaking incredible bad bleeps of the Bible. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Please feel free to get in touch with me and share your thoughts, your church stories, your church trauma, whatever you want to share at badbleepsofthebible@gmail.com. And find us on Instagram and TikTok at badbleepsofthebible. Note to self, Scott, update the TikTok. Sources for today's story can be found in our show notes, and please rate, review, and subscribe and share this podcast. Catch you next time, and watch out for Pharaoh's planning male baby birth aside. Bye.